Okay, good morning. God is good, amen? Let me just tell you, you all look handsome, all look beautiful. That is the introduction you like, right? Wow, makes you feel all good. Thank you, Sherwin, for noticing. God is good, amen? Pastor David, Pastor Laifan, the entire team are in Ludhiana and sending their love, their things. There was supposed to be a slideshow up there. Are you still going to show those? They're saying they're missing everyone. They asked to send some pictures and tell each and every one of you that they are missing you. No. Okay, that reminds me of a little story. Yeah? A few years back in the picture, Pastor Christoph Blom is also in the pictures. A few years back, I think he came for the second time. We were standing here in the front, Joanna, myself, Pastor Christoph, and we were talking. And then he looked at us, Joanna and myself, and he said, "You know what? Guys, I love you." And I look at him like a German, and I said, "Oh, I appreciate you also." Later on, Joanna was saying, "Ayo, why you say like that? You have to say I love you too." I said, "Hey, I'm German. I don't simply say I love you, okay? I hardly know the fella. I don't even know who he really is. I only met them once. Talked just like 10 minutes. I'm not going to tell him I love him." So I said, once I really know that I love him, then I will tell him, okay? So for the next few weeks, maybe even months, I always got to hear that from Joanna. But so when I tell you I love you guys, it comes from my heart. Amen? So I guess maybe if they figure it out, we do it at the end of the service, then the little slide shows there. But today, like we said, it's the first week of December. Christmas season is around. And what I really felt in my spirit, God saying to us, is that this is a season of hope. This is a season of hope. And then I was thinking about hope. What does it mean? And all these things. And of course, I was taken back to the last election. Nothing to do with church, but I was thinking of the last election, how things have changed in Malaysia. How now, all of a sudden, after the election, there was such a feeling of hope that now something will change, something will happen. Now Malaysia can grow into a better future and all these things. And I believe in the house of God, God wants to tell us that this is a season of hope. So wherever you have been discouraged, whatever is going on in our lives that might not make us feel like everything is okay and not everything is going like the way that we want, that this is a season of hope and that God is on our side and that God wants to work in us and in the situations that we're in, that we can really be hopeful. And this morning, we want to go into the scripture looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Of course, that is you cannot get much more Christmassy than this, okay? Luke chapter 1, 26 to 38, that is really the Christmas story as it best. And there it says, "In the sixth month, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you are highly favored, and the Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered that this kind of greetings might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And Elizabeth, and she who was said to be barren in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May it to me as you have said.' Then the angel left her. And then, of course, we know how the story continues. But we are quite familiar with this story. And this is probably as Christmassy as you can get, like I said. And the thing is, it is a season of hope, because now all of a sudden God announced to the world, you know what, I'm going to send my son, and he will come as a baby, and he will later on carry on the sin of the world, and he will reunite mankind with God. So it cannot get much more hopeful than this. Because Jesus, God said, you know what, mankind cannot come up with their own solution. So I will bring a solution to the problem. I will send Jesus that he can die for our sin so that we can be reunited with him. Amen? And that is the most foundation. That is what we say, that is our hope. Everything that happens in our life doesn't really matter, because we have the hope that Jesus came, he died for us, he rose again, and we will be with him. That is the hope that we can always rely on. Amen? But there's a few things that we can learn from Mary. And the first one is found in verse 28. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." So the first thing that we can learn is that we are also highly favored. That we are highly favored. Now, the Bible doesn't say anything extraordinary about Mary. It doesn't go into details what kind of girl she was. It doesn't give any account of how her character was, all these things. But I am sure that she was a fine young woman, because God chose her to bring Jesus into the world. Amen? So there was something special about her, but we are just like her, highly favored. Oh, Pastor, do you say we can say we're almost like Mary? Well, let me see what's in the Bible. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9 says, "God is always on the alert, constantly on the lookout for people who are totally committed to him." So if we have a heart that is committed to God, God is paying attention. It says that he is going through and through the earth looking for people who are committed to him. So the question this morning is, are we committed to him? Because if we are, we can find favor with God. Amen? Even though there are so many people on the world, God is on the lookout for people who are committed to him. Amen? Question is, are we committed to him or not? If we want God's attention, if we want to be really in the center of God's will, we have to be committed. We have to say, "God, whatever is going on in my life, I just want more of you." And I believe that was the thing that was set Mary apart from other people, because you have to put yourself in her shoes. In her shoes, it meant that she was about to get pregnant and that she was not even married yet. That was a reason for her not only to be divorced or pushed aside as an outcast in society, but it could even mean that she could be stoned to death. Not a very promising future. But she said, "You know what? Even though my future is uncertain, God, I want to step into the plan that you have for me. God, I want to experience what you have planned for me, because I know if I am in your plan, in your hand, there is no better place to be." And that is why she was highly favored. So if we have that attitude, just like Mary, "God, I want to experience more of you. No matter what's going on in my life right now, God, I just want more of you." God's eyes will fix on us, and we will get his attention, because he is on the alert. He is constantly on the lookout for people who are committed to him, like we just read. Amen? So we can get God's attention simply by committing ourselves to him. Amen? And we can know that there is no better place than in his arms. Amen? You know what? There was a young couple. They were looking for a house. So they were looking all over the place, And finally, they found a place that they really liked. So they went in with the agent, looked at the house, really liked it. They said, you know what? Let's just do it. Even though it's a little bit over our budget, you know what? We're going to stretch ourselves. We're going to make it happen somehow because we really like this house. So they put in an offer. And the agent took the offer to the seller. And there was some negotiation. But in the end, they didn't get a house because there was another buyer who had a better offer. So the agent came back to them and said, you know what, sorry, there is another one who has a better offer. Are you willing to go up or not? Then the couple had to say, you know what, actually it's a little bit over our budget already. We cannot afford anymore. Sorry, we cannot. So they left it. A few months down the road, they were looking at other houses, could not find anything that they liked. And then finally, the agent called them back and said, you know what? The previous offer, the previous owner of the house, the sale did not go through. Something happened. Maybe they didn't get the credit or whatever from the bank. But something happened. The sale didn't go through. So the offer is on the table again. You can have the house. So they put in another offer lower than the first offer they had. But because now the seller was very motivated to sell, just wanted to get it over with, accepted the lower offer. And they got the house that they always wanted. Amen? Now, what if I tell you this is not just a story I made up, but it happened to a couple from our church. Amen? They were highly favored. Why? Because they surrendered their lives to God and say, God, we really want this, but you take care of it. Amen? So they were rejected the first time and did not know why. They had no idea why this didn't go through. But in the end, months later, they got the house for a better price. That is also the favor of God. Amen? Even though they did not understand at the moment that their offer was rejected. It didn't feel like a blessing. It didn't feel like they were highly favored at that moment. But months later, it shows that God had a hand over them the entire time. Amen? That was Shirley and Arvin, who are not here today, I believe. Okay, if you want more details about this nice story, you can go and ask them. But it happened to someone right here in our midst. Amen? And very similar to Joanna and myself, we were looking for a house, also couldn't find, just started working in the church. So we finally got a house on Beng Lelong auction. Okay, and we were the only ones there bidding for the house. So we got it to the minimum price. That is how God favors his people. Amen? That is how God blesses us. And even though sometimes it doesn't look like a blessing because we were rejected, maybe God is waiting for a greater blessing. And at the moment we don't understand, like Mary, at the moment she did not understand how this could be good news. Until the angel said, you know what? You're going to bear the Messiah of the world. He's going to come and he will reunite mankind with God. Make it possible for us to have a relationship with God again. Then it all started to make sense. So if we are committed, looking for God, looking for more of him, we are highly favored. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, you are highly favored. I can see someone's like, sure or not. Sure or not. I mean, I don't feel like it. But you are. Amen? You are highly favored. The second thing that we can learn is also from verse 28. And it says, the Lord is with you. You are highly favored. And the Lord is with you. So no matter what we are going through, God is with us. No matter how the circumstances might look, this is a season of hope because we know God is with us. Now if you think about Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, if you're familiar with that story, they refused to bow down to worship idol. The king said, I give you a second chance. If you don't bow down and worship the idol, you're going to be thrown into the fire. They still refused, so they were thrown into the fire. And then the king looked into the fire and said, you know what? I see them walking around unharmed. They are not even chained up anymore. And there is another person there and he looks like the Son of God. For them, it did not feel comfortable when they were thrown into the fire. I'm quite sure. Even though God protected them, think about how they must have felt. They refused to worship that idol. And they knew now it's going to be time to be thrown into the fire. They're being let into the fire and be thrown in. And at that time, they were probably very uncomfortable. Not because they were burning up, but because they had no idea what's going to happen next. We know, because we know the story, that Jesus appeared right there in the fire and they were unharmed. They came out unharmed of the entire situation. But you know what? We can take hope because we know that God is with us. That no matter what happens in our life, we can always say, God, I do not understand, but I know that you are still with me. I don't know what's going on. I don't know the end of it. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I know that you are with me. John 14 verse 16 and 17 says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. Talks about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to go up, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit as an helper for you, and he will be with you. He will be in you, and he will live in you. And that is the season to be hopeful, because we know we have the Holy Spirit living in us. So no matter what comes our way, we can always be sure that God, the Holy Spirit, is right there with us. Amen? That we can find refuge knowing that he is there. That we can find peace knowing that he's there. Amen? I told you before, right after my SPM in Germany, which is similar to SPM, I have to always clarify this now, equivalent to SPM in Germany, just finished it, and I was supposed to go on to the military service, but because my two brothers already finished theirs, so me as a third son, I don't have to go. It's a long-standing rule. If two finish it, the third, the fourth, whatever comes after that doesn't have to go into military service anymore. Simply because, just in case there's a war, my brothers are drafted in, and they die in war, I can carry on the family name. That's where it came from. Anyway, long story short, I went, instead of going to the military service, I went on a humanitarian aid organization to Africa. And I was there. We had a trip going outside of Angola into another country of Africa. And on the way back, we got robbed at gunpoint. Now we lost all our money. And then we came in, and then I wanted to cross over the border. But they said, you know what? You don't have a visa. You have to go back to the capital, to the German embassy, get a new visa, and then come back. But at that time, we were already robbed. I had no money left. I couldn't go back all the way, 1,700 kilometers, back to the capital, get a visa, which is also cost money, and then come all the way back just to cross the border into where I was supposed to be. So I was stuck there, didn't know what to do. So they said, okay, since you don't have a visa, since you don't have money, you can stay here tonight in between Angola and Namibia, in the no man's land zone, between the two borders. So I was there praying at night. And I was 19 years old at the time, and I was praying. I said, God, I come all the way here. I want to be used by you. I want to be helpful, and I want to do something good for people. And now I'm stuck here. But you know what? I was not anxious, because I knew that God is there. Now, I wasn't at peace, and I could sleep nicely and just enjoy myself. That would be exaggerated. But I was not anxious to the point where I say, oh, I'm fearful, or I don't know what's going to happen. I didn't know what's going to happen, but I knew somehow God will make a way. And then, for those who know the story already, the next day we went in because we had to get a sticker for the car so they know that it's not stolen. They let me go into the city in the border, and there I met the immigration of the chief of immigration. And he granted me visa right there on the spot and let me go into where I needed to go. Hallelujah. God provided a way. But the whole thing is, even though I did not know what's going to happen next, I knew that God can make a way. I had no idea what's going to happen, but I just knew I am safe in his hands. That's all that mattered. I had peace in my heart. Still worried a bit, still a bit uncertain what's going to happen, but I had peace in my heart. Amen? And that is what it's all about. That God is with us and He can give us peace in whatever situation we're in. If we are in a relationship that is broken, in a relationship that is hurting, can let God fill your heart with peace. If you're in a situation, maybe you have cancer, you're battling with a sickness or what, find peace knowing that God is with you. Amen? And we will pray with you and expect a breakthrough in your life. Amen? But we can know that God is with us. That no matter what happens, God will always be there. The third thing that we can learn from the situation is found in verse 30 where it says, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God.'" We do not have to be afraid. Even though we don't know what the future holds. And in fact, God never promised us to a bed of roses. He never promised us a bright future where everything will work out however we want it to. In fact, Jesus said, "Because they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. Because they have put me under pressure, they will put pressure on you." So by no means does it mean you're a Christian now, you will have a perfect life. There are still things that we have to battle. There are still things that we will have to face. But we know that we do not have to be afraid because God is with us. And we can find favor in the sight of God. Amen? That should bring peace to us, knowing that God is always there. Amen? But the thing is, we have to let God into our life. We have to give Him room so that we can become convinced that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He is with us and that He is on our side and that He wants to bless us. You know, there's a man in the church in Germany where I came from, my parents' church. And he is a very renowned businessman in the area. One of the top businessmen. He has a big company. But the thing is, he was always worried about finances. Rich guy. Everything is provided for. Even the children, everything is paid for. Everything is provided for. He has not to worry, but there's still fear. What happens to the economy? What if all of a sudden the economy turns around and everything goes down? He was so worried that he even got sick. He got to a point where he was even estranged from his son, even to the point that he got divorced from his wife. All because he was so worried and he put so much time and effort trying to provide, making sure that everything is taken care of, but to a point that it got him sick. Now, good news is, his relationship with the son is good again. He's still divorced. But he has so much peace in his heart now. Amen? Because he found God in a new way. And that's what it's about. To find God. That we will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He is with us. And that He is on our side. And that He can give us peace no matter what we are going through. Amen? And that also goes to show that no matter how much you have in a bank account, you can still be fearful. If you have 1,000 ringgit left or 10,000, it depends on the outlook that you have. If it's fearful, it will always lead to problems. Fear will always hold us back, but confidence in God excels us. Amen? That we can know that we can find peace in God. What we are going through, whatever we are facing, we know that Jesus is on our side. Amen? Number 4, verse 37, it says, "For nothing is impossible with God." What can we learn? That nothing is impossible because God is on our side. Amen? We can find peace knowing that He is with us. Amen? Sometimes we don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know when God will provide an answer to our prayer. But in that time, we have to find peace in Him and believe for that breakthrough. Amen? You know, Uncle Chris, he's still in China. He just had a kidney transplant. He went there, what, last week? Last week, 2 weeks ago. So now we're getting news from Uncle Michael that he's doing so much better. I think the things were over 900 and has come down to below 200, which is excellent. Excellent news. And you know what? I saw him always coming to the front to get prayer, altar calls. He would come and cry out to God. God, you have to step in. And he put his hope and his faith and his trust in God. He didn't know when it's going to happen. But thank God, God opened the door, and now he has received the kidney, and he is on the road to recovery. Amen? That is how God can work. And again, it's not a story that you heard. It happened to someone right here. We are still praying that he recovers fully, that he can come back, and that he is doing so much better. Amen? So keep him in prayer, Uncle Chris. But God has done a great work already and is giving him a speedy recovery. Amen? We have seen it. We have seen it, someone right here, that God is on the move. That's why this is a season of hope. That we can know that God is with us. We might not know exactly when the answer to our prayer will come, but we know that it will. And in the meantime, we can find peace in God. Amen? Because we know that God is with us. That he can be right next to us, walking through the difficult situations. Amen? And that is our hope, the season of hope, that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God is with us. Amen? Can the praise team come, please, this morning? Let's just rise to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now as the praise team comes and gets ready to sing the song, let's just respond to God. Say, God, I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't understand the situations. I don't know what the future might hold. But if you're here this morning and you're struggling with something, just come to God and say, God, I know that you are here. I know that I can put my hope and my trust in you. And we believe with you that God will come in and give you a peace that is supernatural. Something will happen to your heart that you can understand that God is right here with you. That even though you don't know when it's going to happen, but you know that God is on your side, that you are highly favored, that he is right here with you. If you're here this morning and you want prayer, please.